to my sermon yet. Does that make you feel? But we are continuing a series about how we need to believe for greater things. And today I get to talk about go. Now, I'm not asking you to stand up right now and go. That's not what I'm saying. You may want to, but I'm not going to let you. But I love the word go. The word go is not a passive word. It is an active word. It is a continual active word. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Matthew 28:18-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore, go. It's not a command that Jesus gave us for just some of us. That's a command that he gave to every believer, is that we are to go. And today I want to talk about how we need to go. And some of you might think, well, what difference does one person make? I'm just one person, what can I do? I'm just one person. I mean, I think of my life of, I don't know why God called me to be a minister of the gospel. I don't understand it. I used to hate to be in front of people. I mean, I would, in school, having to give reports, it physically got me sick. And yet God put me in front of people to speak his good news. I don't get as sick anymore. I still get butterflies. But once again, thank you. The worship service, like Pastor Dale said, it has a way of getting the butterflies out of your way and to focus on what you're supposed to be focused on anyway, which is our loving Savior. But what difference does one person make? Think of the difference one vote can make. Come voting time, many neglect to exercise one of the greatest privileges of democracy, thinking that their vote makes no difference. Well, in 1654, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. Who said amen? In 1939, one vote elected Marcus Morton to be the governor of Massachusetts. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the United States presidency. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. One person can make a difference. Each one of us can make a difference. I was reading a stat. It says, on average, we live for 78.3 years. Most of us remember people we meet after age 5. Well, assume that we interact with 3 new people daily in our lives. And some days it's going to be more, some days it's going to be less. Well, 365 days a year plus leap year days is 365.24. In total, that will be 80,000 people that you will come in contact with in an average life. Some people are higher, some people are lower, but that's about the average. 80,000 people that you can have impact on in your life. And those are just new people that you meet. That's nothing to say of the people that you meet or spend time with, of how you can influence their lives. There's a quote that says, never forget that you are one of a kind. If you go to the next slide, there we go. Never forget that you are one of a kind. Never forget that if there weren't any need for you in all your uniqueness to be on this earth, you wouldn't be here in the first place. And never forget, no matter how overwhelming life's challenges and problems seem to be, that one person can make a difference in the world. In fact, it is always because of one person that all the changes that matter in the world come about. So be that one person. Today I want to talk about how you can be a difference in your world. And you can be a difference because Jesus said that you are the light of the world. That's the title of my message today, is that you are the light of the world. And I'm going to tie this all together with go, because I really think they go hand in hand. That if we are the light, we will just naturally go into all the world. I want to read you our text. It's out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the word that challenges me. I thank you for your word that corrects me. I thank you for your word that encourages me. I thank you for your word that directs me. I thank you for your word that brings me closer to you. Because, Lord, as we spend time in your word, Lord, that is what is going to happen in our lives. And, Lord, I know that I am nothing. I am just a sinner saved by grace. And the words I have to say can come and go, but Lord, let me speak the words that come from God, Lord, that would change us, that would cause us to be more like you, that would challenge us, that would cause us to realize that we are the light of the world and that the light that we have is you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, you are the light of the world. I want to say that again. You are the light of the world. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You are the light of the world. Amen. Thank you. We're woke up. All right. This is as close as I'm going to come to talking about you two today. And it's not really about them, but they're just in the story. When our kids were younger, Pastor Jill and I, younger than they are now, when they were little. Yes, they were little. Pastor Jill and I pastored in 29 Palms, California. And how many of you have ever been to 29 Palms, California? You know where 29 Palms, California is? Are you glad you're not there today? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In my opinion, 29 Palms, California is the hottest place on earth. People talk, because we moved here from Yuma, and people talked about how hot it was in Yuma. It was worse than 29 Palms. But one year we were going to go up to Montana for vacation. It was for a holiday. I think we were going to be going up there. And so we left after church on Sunday night. And yes, we had Sunday night church then. And so we were driving up the back way to get, had to drive through Vegas to get to Mesquite, which is about an hour outside of Vegas, because that was a good start of our trip to drive up to Montana the next day. And what's amazing is, how many of you have ever driven into Las Vegas at night? It's not like when you cross the city limits, all of a sudden there's lights. I mean, you're an hour away and you're going, what is that in the sky? And it is the lights of Vegas. But the thing is, you know, in our text it talked about a city on a hill cannot be hid. Las Vegas cannot be hidden unless there's a power outage. But, you know, now I don't want you to say we're supposed to be like Las Vegas. Don't walk away from here saying I'm going to be just like Las Vegas, because that's not what I'm saying. Please, that is not what I'm saying. It made a good illustration. But we need to, just as Las Vegas lights up the night sky, we as Christians need to live our lives that way. We need to let our light shine so bright that, I mean, you're affecting people that you're not even having contact with. That is being the light of the world. As I was doing research for this, I was looking up different things, and I went, what's the definition of light? I thought I'd look it up. And I found out something interesting that I've known, but do you know that light, L-I-G-H-T, is a noun? It's a verb, and it's an adjective. Light is in, like, light brown, so it's a lighter color brown. So this table is light brown, L-I-G-H-T. But light is also, as a noun, it's a natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. And that's what I always had the visual in my mind of, that we're supposed to be the light of the world in that way. We need to be something that is visible. But as I was looking at that, God kind of just said, but you know what? We also need to be a light as a verb. Because the verb light means to make something start burning or to ignite. And if we let the light verb of Jesus in our life, and if we allow that to ignite in our life, we will naturally be the light of the world. As we let the verb light into our life, we will become the noun light to others. Well, I have a little object lesson here today. Yes, I have all kinds of stuff. I have a candle. This is just a plate. I didn't want to drip wax on the thing. But I'm just going to light the candle. This is my favorite lighter. It's like a butane one, but I mean, it shoots out a nice blue flame. But we have a candle up there. And if we turned off all the lights, which I'm not asking you to do, but if we had all the lights out, even with this one light, you could see. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It directs me of where to go. When we have power outages, I mean, when I was growing up, you look for a flashlight or you look for the candles. A few months ago in Sunday morning service, we had a real, real fun adventure when we lost all power. I mean, it was, I got kind of a warped sense of humor. And when stressful things happen, I try to find the humor in it because it's my way of coping with it. But it was absolutely hilarious that when the lights went out, everybody grabbed their phone without being asked to, and they opened up their app, and they went down, you know, and everybody did this. And all of a sudden, we had light. I mean, and it was light all over the place. And I just, you know, try not to laugh, but I just thought it was hilarious. But we're supposed to be the light. And the first part of those verses talks about that we are the light of the world. But the next part of it, and this is all going together, it says to do not hide your light. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. I mean, this may work. I got to thinking afterwards that I may not have enough. But if we have this light and it's dark in here and I cover it, is it really any help to anybody? In fact, what will eventually happen, I don't know if it will or not. Ow, it's hot. That's why there's handles on the side. Nope, still lit. But if I had a better seal, it would completely extinguish the flame. And I really think that in our own lives, if we continually try to hide our light, that there are certain parts of my life that God can't have. And the song, I Surrender All, man, I mean, and I was preparing for the sermon, I was over there bawling because it's like, that's a continual thing in my life is I need to continue to surrender all. But if we continue to hide our light, I'm not going to surrender all. You can't have this part of my life, God. I'm going to have that. Oh, Sunday. Oh, okay, God, you got it. And there I went and did it anyway. The wax will come up. I'll get it after service. But we have to surrender all. And surrender all means not hiding our light. It's to live our life as a light of Jesus Christ. I'm going to set it down this way so I don't burn the carpet too. But don't hide your candle. For the most part, we're not comfortable with darkness. When the power went out and everyone got out their phones and turned their lights on, it's because it was uncomfortable. I don't know how it is at your house, but at my house, we have a nightlight in the bathroom. It's not because I'm afraid of the dark. It's because I'm getting to that age where I don't sleep through the night anymore. I get up a couple times and make a little visit. And I like to know the way of how to get there. Because if you've ever stubbed your foot or kicked something in the middle of the night, yeah, you all know what that is. Well, the kids probably don't. They step on Legos and it doesn't hurt. I start dancing if I step on a Lego. And that's not a pretty sight. But we're not comfortable with darkness. It makes us uncomfortable. And I think that is a natural human trait. Is we want to be able to see. We want to know what our surroundings are. We want to know what is behind us. And yet there are times as Christians that we want to cover our light. I'll better illustrate it this way. We want to, that we act like we're lighter Christians. That when I need to have the light on, whoops, I'll turn it on. But now this is a part of my life I don't want God to have, and I'll turn it off. Or we hide it. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to hide our light. Because that's a purposeful act of choosing to not be the light of the world. We're not supposed to only shine our light in certain situations and places. And I understand that we don't want to stand out. We don't want to be made fun of. We don't want people to laugh at us. I understand that. But Jesus wants us to stand out. He wants us to shine our light and to not hide it. And this past year, I've been very challenged in this aspect. We came up here and we were on staff. Both Pastor Joe and I are working in secular jobs, and I was working at a middle school last year. I'm working at a high school this year. But I had to let my light shine before men. And it wasn't like coming into church, because at church some people change their language because they're in church. They didn't change their language when I went to the school. And it wasn't just the kids. I mean, it was the adults too. And I was, you know, talking with God, well, how do I come about with this? I mean, but I was going into the mission field. And that's how God really impressed it upon me, was that as I was going to that school, I was in a mission field. And I was in a new culture. I was in a new place. I was with a new language, because there are words And yet, I was able to be a light. I was able to pray with people. And I didn't come in, you know, walking through the door, I'm an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God. I went in there as a Christian, just letting my light shine. And I had several teachers ask me, you know, months down the road, so what else do you do? I said, well, I'm an ordained minister. And with one of the teachers, who was an extreme liberal, and we got along great. I prayed for him when he was sick one day. I covered for his class. But he went, it was like a light came on. I was like, oh, this is why you're acting differently. But I don't want to act different because I'm an ordained minister. I want to act different because I'm a child of God. I want to act different because the light within me is Jesus Christ. And it's not me putting on a pretense if I'm supposed to be holy. But I'm living a life because I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want his light to shine in my life, whether I'm a minister, whether I'm delivering pizza, whether I'm working at a movie theater, whether I'm in a school district. We're supposed to be the light of the world. So we need to let our light shine. My third point, are we excited? So how can we let our light shine? And this is probably the essential question. And for kids in high school, does essential question mean anything to you? You know what it means, Caleb. In Cornell Notes, it's a note-taking system that they use, I'm assuming in college too, in high school. But it is a special way to take notes so that kids can find the information that they need quickly as they're reviewing for their tests. And the essential question is something you put on the top. And in essence, what the essential question is your theme of the paper. And everything that you're going to write on that paper goes towards answering the essential question. Is that correct? I'm just learning Cornell Notes this year. I'm taking a crash course in it, along with a crash course in Algebra 2. Oh, they're doing things I've never seen before. We didn't have graphing calculators when I took algebra. We didn't have a computer in my school when I took algebra. I know. And so, he really is old. Side note, keep Pastor Jill in your prayers for a couple reasons. Yesterday, she and my daughter Ashley went to a teacher's training sort of thing, and where they were eating lunch, there were onions in the food, and both Pastor Jill and I, onions do bad things to our bodies, different but both bad, and she is still sick from that this morning. So that's one reason to keep her in prayer. Second reason is this Friday will be our 27th wedding anniversary. And I've been married to Pastor Jill for almost half of my life. How she's put up with me for that long, it still amazes me. But I've been blessed. She is a blessing. She's my best friend. I learn so much from my wife. She's the Bible scholar in the family. She's the organized one. If you're in Dave Ramsey, I'm the free spirit. She's not. But she is a blessing to me. So how can we let our light shine? There's three things that every one of us can do as in the context of go, of letting our light shine. And the first one is that everyone can pray. Everyone can pray. And all the prayer is, I think, that's the next slide, I think, if I did that right. Let your light shine. Next one. Maybe not. I don't worry about it. It just says everyone can pray. All the prayer is just talking with God. Pastor Jill talked about that last week, that prayer is talking with God. We don't have to have a special vocabulary to talk with God. And I love in reading the book of Psalms of so many times that David, King David, he went to God in every way, shape, or form. He went to God when he was happy. He went to God when he was depressed. He went to God when he was safe and in comfort. He went to God when he was fearing for his life. He went to God when life was good and he was praising God. He went to God when he had sinned. In every aspect of his life, he went to God. And it was just I mean, we look at that, and why can't we just pray like that? Well, we can. And part of it is I'm not diminishing God, but if we treat God as a friend, how do I talk to my friend? How do I talk to my wife? How do I talk to my kids? How do I talk to my coworkers? Why can't we just talk to God that same way? If you're having a bad day, talk to God. If you're having a good day, talk to God. He already knows anyway. It's not going to come as a surprise to him. But prayer is just talking with God. So how can we pray in the concept of being a light? We can pray for the lost. We have friends or family or coworkers that are not serving the Lord, and we know that. We can pray for them. We can pray that God will use us as an instrument to help them to know of the love of Jesus, that we can be that light to them. We can pray for our missionaries. We have missionaries both in the United States, we have missionaries out of the United States who are going places that most of us will never go, in circumstances some of us cannot even imagine. But we can pray for them. We can pray for their safety. We can pray that God would bring opportunities that they could share the love of God, that God would open doors. I've got several friends that are missionaries and seen their Facebook posts of things that God has done or that God is doing. I mean, it encourages me. But it encouraged me to pray for them also, because we need to pray for our missionaries. But we also need to pray that God would open up opportunities for us to share the light of Jesus. And that's where it gets really quiet. It's okay to pray for someone else to do that, but I don't want to do that. And it's a stretching thing. It is a stretch for me to be in a public school. And not just because of Algebra 2. But I have fun. And I've learned to love the kids. Learned to love, yeah. Some of them, they needed to learn to love. But what is so funny is last year I was in middle school, and I'm also working at a Harkins Theater, about how so many of the kids that I work with and so many of them that I never worked with come up and talk to me at the theater. Is that God has opened up doors for me to continue to minister to their lives, to continue to be a light before them. And I found out when I went to Higley High School, there's like 5 or 6 or 7 or more of the kids that I work with at the theater that actually go to the same high school. And I'm finding more every day. But God wants us to be that light. But we need to open up and say, God, give me opportunities to share your light with those around me. That's one thing we do is when we pray. What is something else that we can do? We can give. And everyone can give. The Assemblies of God, one of their core values when it was begun was we want to be a mission-sending fellowship. And that is one of the things that I truly love about the Assemblies of God. And it's not just certain parts. It's not just when you're an adult. But we start when they're kids. And I'm almost 55 and I still feel like I'm a kid. You probably think I act like a kid. But I love BGMC. BGMC, when it first started out, if you've ever seen the Buddy Barrel, the big yellow dude, Buddy Barrel started out by, that was how they would ship the material to the missionaries, was in big wooden barrels. And that's when they got the idea, oh, we'll make a Buddy Barrel. I have a wooden Buddy Barrel. But Buddy Barrel is geared towards our elementary and younger kids as a way for them to give money to help people around the world. And BGMC does things like they buy literature. Sometimes they buy This is funny. Cows, goats. They buy water wells. They put water in so a place has free, clean water to drink. Not disease, not something that they washed their hands in or they washed their clothes or went to the bathroom. It's clean water. And BGMC, that are some of the things that BGMC does, but it's with our kids to get them to understand that they can have a worldview of what God is doing. That they can be a light to the world here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And, you know, we go back to that part, well, what does one person do? What does $1 do? Well, statistics have shown that for every dollar that's given to BGMC, one person comes to Christ because of that dollar that was given. $1 can make a difference. $1. I went to QT this morning on my way to church to get my Diet Pepsi in a refill, and it was 85 cents. So basically, for the price of a QT drink, one person around the world could know Jesus. And that's why I love BGMC, because it teaches children that they too have a part in the Great Commission, that they too have a part in sharing the good news around the world. But it doesn't just stop with the kids. Because when they go to youth group, they do Speed the Light. And I love Speed the Light. And in many districts now, like at youth convention, they'll bring their money, they'll save up money, and they buy vehicles. They buy sound equipment for missionaries. And that is an amazing thing, that they have a vehicle for them when they arrive at the place. Light for the Lost is a part of our men's ministry, which I love because it really works with literature, mainly with literature. And a women's ministry has special projects that they do. I'm going to have to dump some wax out because I don't want my light to go out. There. Light's still burning. We have United States Ministries, which is part of that is church planting, of looking for strategic locations that are missing a Pentecostal influence, and we work on planting a church there. That's part of our U.S. missions. Chi Alpha, which I love Chi Alpha, because Chi Alpha goes to the college campuses, the secular colleges, college campuses, and begins a Pentecostal group for them to be a part of. And Chi Alpha is sending out missionaries, and they're challenging every Chi Alpha student to take 1 year of their life and spend it in foreign missions. Our Native American ministries are part of our U.S. missions. American Indian College in Sagu, which is a Southwestern Assembly of God University. Those are things that we can support that train leaders to go out into all the world and preach the good news. Those are ways that we can be a part of that by giving. We also have world missions. That's giving to help people around the world to send missionaries. Because not every one of us is going to go around the whole world and preach the good news. In fact, very few of us are going to go around the world. And many of us will never go outside the country. And some of us never leave the state. And not so much here, but there are parts of the country where people haven't lived farther than been more than 20 minutes away from where they grew up. But we have the opportunity, by our giving, to help people around the world. I can give money to missions, and I can help a missionary friend down in Madagascar. I can give money to missions, and I can help a nurse who's in Romania helping orphan kids. I can give money to missions, and I can help a children's ministry in the Philippines called Family Circus, who are providing food, who are providing medical care, dental care, all for free. And sharing the love of Jesus all around the world. We can all give. And it's not your tithe. It's over and above your tithe. That we can give to help people learn about Jesus. And the final thing that we can do, and this is the one you're all dreading, everyone can go. Everyone can go because Jesus said that we need to go. That we need to be the light of the world. Because we are all missionaries. We are all ambassadors of our heavenly kingdom. And we have a job to do, to spread the good news to all creation. Some are called around the world, and some are called across the street. You've been called to your business. I've been called to Higley High School. How can we, where we are at, be a light for Jesus? There's different things that we can do, not only of talking to someone across the street or someone we work with, but you can go on a short-term missions trip. Pastor Jill and I have gone to Mexico. We also went to the Philippines on missions trips. They were just short-term. Always wanted to go to the Philippines. Both Pastor Jill and I did. We went there once, spent about a week and a half there. Sweat for a week and a half. And had a great time. And we came back home, thankful that we live in the United States, but still having a heart for helping the ministries in the Philippines. There's work projects that you can do. I have a friend who's a missionary. His name is Norm Canoodle. I think he's about the most energetic, busiest guy I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's between either Pastor Dale or Norm who's busier. Iron's in the fire. But for many years, Norm was a missionary building churches, parsonages, all those things. Now he's working with the MAPS program in the Texas area districts, doing the same thing on our U.S. Missions. But there's so many things you can do. I helped to build a church in Oregon over a weekend. That was a funny thing to do. When we got there on Friday night, it was a concrete slab. When we left 2 days later, the roof was on. They were still doing some interior stuff. The walls were up, the whole thing, in 2 days. It was amazing. But those are simple things that we can do. And there's places all over, I mean, in this area, where you could do mission work. Reaching the lost, helping people to reach the lost, just with the gifts and talents that you have. And then there's one that I know every one of us can do. And it's one that Pastor Dale talks about passionately all the time. It's touches and random acts of kindness. I've got a video clip. Some of you may not understand what a random act of kindness is. I've got a video clip I want to show you from a movie called Evan Almighty. And what Evan Almighty is, it has Steve Carell in it playing the part. He's not Noah, but it's basically the story of Noah and the Ark. But they have an interesting thing when they talk about random acts of kindness. They call it ARK, so acts of random kindness, but it's the same thing. But Stephen, can you go ahead and show that?
So you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Now, so I'm not saying that our act of random kindness is to give dogs water. But maybe you see someone with the sign and you give something to drink or something to eat. They do things sometimes called pay it forward, where you'll pay for the drink of whatever's behind you. My daughter had that happen one time. Someone bought her drink before her, and she was going to pass it on until she looked behind, and it was a car full of people, and she stopped it. She didn't have that much cash on her. But why can't we just do a random act of kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it, to someone who's not looking for it? I was working at the theater a couple weeks ago, and I'm really not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I'm just an ordinary person, but I'm my best frame of reference. And sometimes it's just listening to what God says for you to do. And it's not this huge thing, you know, the sky's not parted and you hear angels singing and God saying, do this. But sometimes it's just an impression of how I can help somebody. And I worked only half of my shift at Harkins, and they sent me home. And I had lunch. I was planning to eat it. And I was going to drive home. And for some reason, I went through the Walmart parking lot, and there was someone there asking for whatever. It's like, oh, well, I got lunch. I gave my lunch. It can be something as simple as that, something that is not looked for, but is sharing the love of Jesus. And how do I know that that makes a difference? Because Jesus said, even if you give a cup of water to someone in my name, you're doing it as unto me. In our world, there is so much chaos. There's so much people demanding their rights. There's so many people who are looking for offense, and when you look for offense, you'll find offense. Why don't we start looking to be kind? If I recall, isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Yeah, it's number 5. Shouldn't that be coming more of our life as we become closer to Him? I thought, oh man, Pastor Dale, I went over. I'm almost done. We need to share the good news. We need to go into all the world. We could have our music team come up. We made the term witness too difficult. When people say, I need to witness with someone, everybody freaks out. And you might go, well, I don't know the Bible well enough, or I don't know this well enough, or what if they ask me this question? Do you know what a witness is? If you were called into the court of law and you were a witness on a case, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to tell what you saw. 1 John 1:3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. What has God done in your life? Has He forgiven you of your sins? You've got something to share. You've got something personal to share. Have you been healed? Has God answered a prayer that you've had? That's something you can share because that's something that you witnessed. Mahatma Gandhi had a quote. Because too often we say, well, what if I witness to them and they don't listen? Or what if I witness and they don't become saved? Do you know what? It's not our job to save. That's God's job. Our job is to just tell the good news, to be the light. Now, I don't think that Gandhi was a Christian, but he had an amazing quote. And it says this, it's not the action, it's the action, not the fruit of the action that's important. You have to do the right thing. It may not be in your power, may not be in your time that there'll be any fruit. But that doesn't mean you stop doing the right thing. You may never know what results come from your action, but if you do nothing, there will be no result. Be a light. The world needs a light. Jesus has called us to be the light of the world. Do you have the light within you? You can't go into all the world and be the light of the world if you don't have the light in you. If you've never asked Christ into your life, you don't have the light within you. You may be a happy person, things may be going good, but if Christ is not your Savior, you do not have the light of Jesus in you. So maybe that's you. You can ask Jesus into your life today and let him be the light in your life. My second question is, are you hiding your light? Are you kicking it on, clicking it off? We're supposed to be the light all the time. And my final question is, are you going into your world to share the light that is in you? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I love that you've said that you are the light of the world in the book of John. But as you come into our life, you've told us that we are the light of the world. And it's not our own light, but it is you living in us. And Jesus, as you are in our lives, as you become more important in our lives, as we trust you more and learn from you and grow in our faith, Lord, and that light continues to come out as we continue to obey your word and do what you've called us to do. Lord, we may not see the results until we get to heaven. But Jesus, you've just called us to do what you called us to do. To go and make disciples. To share the good news, to be the light of the world. Oh, let that be us this day. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, I don't want you looking around. I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed, but maybe you heard today.